Hey, everybody, welcome back to Fellowship's Community Bible Reading Podcast. This is Aaron King.
And Trenton Hubbard.
That's right. And we're here to talk about some themes in the book of Mark. Hopefully, y'all have been enjoying the book so far. I used to shy away from saying enjoying because I don't know, like about the Bible, because I don't know, it's supposed to challenge you and stuff too. But you know, I hope you're enjoying it.
Like, yeah. That's right.
I really do. I hope it's challenging you and you're growing, and I hope you're enjoying
it. If not, come see one of us.
Yes, yeah. Seriously. Like, what else?
I mean,
at base level, come on.
Yeah.
So some themes in the book of Mark. We're going to talk about three today. These are just kind of some broad things that we see in the book of Mark that it focuses on that also have a lot of application to us today, and that we kind of want to just talk through how it shows up in the book of Mark, but also how it can show up and how we can think about these things rightly in our lives. So one of those themes is discipleship and kind of our failure and growth in discipleship to Jesus. Another one, spiritual practices. And the third one, spiritual warfare. We're just, you know, we're getting right to it.
Yep.
So this first one, discipleship, which we talked about in the last episode, Mark really highlights the failure and the growth in these disciples, discipleship relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so why do you think there's such a focus on this in Mark specifically? Trenton, like, any thoughts?
Yeah. So, you know, we touched on the fact that the audience or the primary audience of this book was mainly a group of people asking the question, like, who is Jesus? You know, this is the first, most believe this is the first account of Jesus's life, or at least first kind of organized gospel account. And so, and it's in some very chaotic times when there is a lot of persecution. The early church is just getting kind of, you know, pieced together. There's tons.
They're developing their theology. Like, they don't have a theology.
That's right. There's no, yeah. Any of the tools that we're so reliant on these days or we're used to being reliant on don't exist. And so there's no liturgy. There's no, you know, orthodox. I mean, it's just, it's the Wild West out there, you know?
Right.
And so they're piecing these things together. And I tend to believe their fears are probably similar to ours today, in the sense that if you follow Jesus long enough, that kind of naive, childlike, whatever you say, Jesus, of being a new believer tends to wear off. There's all of a sudden this checklist of things that you're supposed to be accomplishing, or you feel like you're supposed to be knocking out. And so, yes, there is maturity and there is a growing up in faith that I do believe in. But what keeps me from Jesus more often than not is my own fear that I'm supposed to have it more together than I do. And if I don't have it together, then Jesus doesn't have a place for me in the mission or in his church and all that. So if I'm a group of people who are piecing together this new church, trying to just live like Jesus, I've heard these stories of this man who have made these incredible claims and all that stuff, and I want to follow him. I believe in him. And yet, I'm looking around and my community is a mess, or my own life is a mess, and I'm just digging myself out of pagan worship, you know, whatever that might be that I'm struggling with. I'm going to have some real serious doubts of whether or not there's a place for me in this mission. And so if I find out that Jesus, this Messiah, this Savior that's come, built this whole faith with a group of ragtag fishermen, political, sleazebags, I mean, for lack of a better word, you know, for some rebels, you know, whatever, he built this whole thing with that group of people, and it's through his Spirit filling these very failed individuals that he builds the church that is going to go out into the nations and into the world, and change me over time and change my friend, my community, and out and the others. That's some pretty good news to me.
Yeah.
And so I can't help but think that that's not a piece of the pie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I, there's Craig Keener has this great quote. I mention it several times, but if you just want like one resource to help you, as you're reading, there is an IVP Bible Backgrounds commentary. There's one for the Old Testament, one for the New Testament. I mean, it just has the whole thing really summarized, like things to help you through. Anyway, so Craig Keener wrote the one on the New Testament, and he talked about Mark. He said that the early Christians that were reading this could be reminded through the failure of the disciples in Mark that if they had not yet achieved the radical lifestyle their Lord's words demanded, he would still work with them patiently to help them get to that level of commitment. Which that's, I mean, that's encouraging for the early church. I read that, like, that's encouraging to me.
Yeah.
How many of us, you know, most days wake up feeling like we've got it right. We've got it together. Like, I think we're all pretty acutely aware that we fall short. And so, yeah, Jesus is just patiently like, let's keep going.
Yeah. And it's not that he shies away from our failures.
Right.
But he stares him in the eye and loves us anyway. Mm-hmm. And gosh, yeah. Story.
And how much do we need that too?
Yeah. Story after story in this gospel. Just, it's like a soothing balm for that part of you. And man, yeah, good news.
And yet so often, and this was the next question I was going to ask and talk about.
Yeah.
We shy away from sharing those things with others, like our personal failures within our community, the people that we're supposed to be closest to. We shy away from sharing those. So what, like, why is it important to share like the real highs and the real lows of what we're experiencing with people in our communities?
Yeah. You know, we're going to touch on practices and things, but to me, that's one of the starting points of these practices. Is it's we referenced in the last episode not taking ourselves too seriously, and probably more than any time in human history, we are masters of wearing a mask, and masters of not showing our real self. And so, in a lot of ways, I think it's just a practice of welcoming the truth into who we really are, or welcoming light into our identities or our perceived identities.
We got to be honest about it with ourselves first.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can't share it with other people.
That's right.
Because we don't even realize it within ourselves. Yeah.
That's right. And so I need my friends, you know, my wife, my family, whatever, to sometimes tell me I'm not nuts, you know? I mean, I am nuts sometimes, but, and I need them to tell me that. But it's just the kind of the beginning steps of letting Jesus be Jesus through your community. Mm-hmm. And so one of the primary ways Jesus works in a community is through the other members in that community. And so anyway, you know, you can get wonky with some of this stuff and some weird, you know, legalistic type of confession to others or whatever.
Yeah,
and that's not
sure.
what we're getting at. But having deep, real relationships with people that you trust and can point to Jesus is huge in a Christian faith.
So. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that is why we are called to the practice of confession.
Yeah.
Again, that can get, I think many of us have seen that get too far. But yeah, we are called to confess our sins to another and you know, also just like hard things that are going on, things
exactly.
that maybe not necessarily sin, but just like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I'm falling short in this area, whatever. And so that gets us into our next theme, spiritual practices, which we see on display in the book of Mark. How would you define or describe spiritual practices?
Spiritual practices, yeah. Probably should have looked up a definition before sitting down in this chair. But,
no, that's what we want. We want the right. raw, that's unfiltered.
Right. But no, you know, we talk about discipleship. It's kind of following Jesus. There's that apprenticeship that you see in the actual disciples. You know, what is the John Mark Comer's handles there?
Like the be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did.
That's it. Yeah. And so the way you become like someone is spending time with them. And then the more you become like that person, the more you end up doing the things that they do. And so those practices, to me, are just about setting the table to spend some time with Jesus is the majority of it. And so... So what are practices? I'd say it's intentional time outside of your regular rhythm or regular schedule. They can be integrated into your schedule or into your rhythms, but outside of your cruise control going through life version that you're intentionally setting aside to be with Jesus, practice some of the things that he practiced and do some of those things.
Yeah, and I love, we made the decision, I mean, several years ago when we did the Pathway series, which we reference a lot because, I mean, it was just so good.
It was just so good.
We'll put the references to those in some of the resources so everybody can go back. But it made the intentional decision to use the word practices. A lot of people call them spiritual disciplines.
Sure.
But it really frees you up when you call them practices.
Yeah.
You know, if you're thinking of something you're practicing, the idea is you're not going to get it right. And, you know, most of the time that somebody sets out to pray, read scripture, you know, do a Sabbath, you know, whatever it is, fast. Like, they feel like they're failing because... Yeah. They fail because we're people and we do that. So you call it practices. I was like, hey, you know, I practiced Sabbathing today.
Yeah.
It wasn't like game ready Sabbath, but it was, you know, I practiced it.
That's right.
But yeah, I think that's so good. And I read something the other day about, you know, where we go to church. If somebody goes to church once a week, let's say they're even, you know, in a GC.
Yeah.
Let's say they come to church every week.
Sure.
They're in a GC. That's probably 3 or 4 hours out of their week that they're intentionally getting some spiritual formation in.
Yeah.
There's, I think, 168 hours in a week, right? The rest of those 164 hours, I mean, Chad always talks about we're always being formed by something.
Yeah.
And so if we're just... putting all of our eggs in the basket of spiritual formation at church activities, we are not going to be formed by Jesus. We're going to be formed by something else.
And so. And I would say what I've been, I use the word convicted, but in a, you know, it's in a good way. What I've been convinced of more than ever is what we're doing in those situations is we're selling ourselves short. Like, there's no shortage of Jesus. There's no shortage of time with Jesus. Like, he is everywhere. He's everything. You know, God is everywhere. The Spirit is living in us. And so, you know, yeah, that word discipline has sort of a bad taste to it or bad flavor. But what this is we're practicing for eternity, you know, when we get to do these things. And so... it's the rest of our chaotic life that's been formed by the fall. You know, we're recording this right now, we're in Genesis. And so, you know, we're fresh off the fall. Like, life was meant to be spent with God.
That's so good.
And,
And so, we act like, oh, this big add-on.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that more in our next episode, actually. But
it's our culture, it's our schedules, it's our whatever that has things backwards. And so we're practicing being the humans that God's designed us to be when we're doing some of these things. So I think that's helpful and freeing for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's so good. And we, the third theme that we're going to talk about that we see a lot in the book of Mark, probably more than any of the other gospels, is spiritual warfare. I had a professor in college who talked about wanting to read scripture to his daughters at night. So he said, okay, I'll start, you know, the young daughters. He said, okay, I'll start in the book of Mark. He gets through one chapter of Mark and he's like, okay, there's an exorcism in the first chapter of Mark that I'm reading to my daughters before I go to bed. And that's just Mark for you. That's like what we talked about. He just, you know, right away. but there's, I mean, there's a lot of spiritual showdowns. In here, the first chapter of Mark, like I said, not only do we see Jesus casting out a demon, but we see him being tempted by the devil. We just see over and over again these supernatural encounters that he has. And to our Western minds, a lot of times, that can be really, it can be a lot of things. It could be scary. It could be off-putting. A lot of people, you know, approach things with a little bit more just like intellectualized view. So, like, why do we think this is a tricky subject sometimes? Why is it one we shy away from? And, like, how should we approach it? How should we approach, like, the idea that, hey, there's supernatural stuff going on around us all the time? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I'm so thankful to be having this discussion after coming back from Nepal last year. It's, I mean, this would not be a subject. Yeah, this is not a podcast subject if we were filming this in Nepal. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't be having this conversation. The enemy is not a moron, and he knows the different strategies that work in different cultures, I believe. And so, to assume that he's not active because it doesn't look like, in most cases, in Jonesboro, Arkansas, the way that it did in first century Galilee, is pretty naive. And it's, I think it's a pretty dangerous way to walk out your faith in today's world. And so, I think the hope of the enemy would that us in Jonesboro, Arkansas, would just assume that he's not there.
Yeah.
And to assume that he's not a threat. Exactly. And so, to read some of these accounts is very different than the way that I see it. But is it any different than the way that we've been lulled, you know, or Pastor, I've talked about references, the enemy almost rocking us like a baby, like, shh, you know, just be comforted, you know, into lulled into this comfort of thinking that everything's just fine.
Yeah.
You know, your money will get you through, your successful children will is enough, you know, your lake house is enough, whatever.
Or just numb yourself, you know, just watch more Netflix, spend more time on social media, like, you know, kind of quiet those voices. Yeah.
The good life. And so, all of those, I mean, I'm not saying all of those things are the result of the enemy, but, if those things are allowed to, lull us into a state where we feel like we don't need Jesus, that's the enemy.
Yeah.
It's some sin nature involved. Don't worry. Yes, you know, the fallen flesh is involved as well. But the enemy in Jonesboro, Arkansas, knows our favorite idols, and he is very good at putting them in our way. But that said, the same strategies and weapons of prayer and calling some of those things out and radical faith in Jesus and, you know, these practices that we've talked about, they're needed to fight those same demons as they were, you know, to rescue the legion or the man who's possessed by the legion. And so those are the same tools introduced in the Gospels that we need today to keep us from vegging out on TikTok for too long or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, it seems silly and childish to say that. Those things are just as dangerous.
It is. It's just true. Back to the importance of we just have to be formed. It's not enough to be formed by somebody here at this building. We're, you know, recording at the Fellowship building, yeah. But it's not enough. It's not enough for that. It has to be something that is taking place personally in our lives.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to remember we can fall into the ditch on one side of not taking spiritual warfare and spiritual reality seriously enough. And we can also fall into the ditch of becoming fearful. And I think it's really important that we say, okay, this is real. We're taking it seriously. But also we know that we're covered in Jesus, that we're walking with God, that He is protecting us. I think about going out. My extended family has some land out in Central Texas, a lot of land, dry, all of that stuff. There's a possibility of snakes. And the last time we took our son out there, he's six, we were walking on this path, and I was telling him some things to do. And I said, you know, because there could be, you know, snakes in that grass or whatever, I said, you know, stay close to me. If I tell you, you know, stay on the path. If I tell you to do something, move, whatever, do it. And he got scared of the snakes. And it was a thing where I wanted to be like, yes, that's a real possibility. Like those are real. You should take them seriously. But if you're staying close to me, if you're doing what I'm telling you to do, you're going to be fine. You don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. You know, we know what we're doing, all of that. And I think that's the case with us too, as Christians. Like, yes, we need to take this seriously. But also there's a lot of freedom that we're with Jesus. He's protecting us. He has us covered. There's not, we don't need to be fearful. And so with that, we're going to wrap up our Community Bible Reading podcast for this time. I hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.